Chapter 8. After the Bombing. That same day, the day of the bombing, Verloc went out in the morning and didn't return until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He went into the living room and sat down near the fire. He was shivering, and his eyes and face were red. "You've caught a cold, Adolf," Winnie said in a worried voice. She made Verloc a cup of tea and then asked, "Where were you today? Did you go to see Stevie at Michaelis?" "No," Verloc answered. He pulled his chair closer to the fire. For a long moment he was silent. "I went to the bank," he finally said. "I took out all our money."
"All of it?" Winnie asked, surprised. "Why did you do that?"
"We may need it," Verloc said, looking at the fire. "We may have to leave England." He wasn't ready yet to tell her why. He still had to think of the right way to explain what had happened, to make her understand that it hadn't been his fault.
"You're talking nonsense, Adolf. You're ill, and you need to rest," Winnie said. "I'll make you something to eat. Perhaps that will help you feel better."
While Winnie was in the kitchen, the bell above the shop door rang. Verloc walked slowly down the stairs, and when he returned a few minutes later, his face was very pale, and he looked nervous and confused.
"I have to go out now," Verloc said to Winnie. But instead of getting ready to leave, he sat down on the sofa. He felt paralyzed.
"Where do you have to go?" Winnie asked. But Verloc didn't answer. Impatient with her husband's silence and curious to see who had come into the shop, Winnie went downstairs. A tall, thin, well-dressed man stood near the door.
"I'm Mrs. Verloc," Winnie said. "My husband will be down soon."
"How do you do?" the man answered, but he didn't tell Winnie his name. Winnie wanted to understand why this man made Verloc so nervous, so she smiled and said,
"My husband seemed surprised to see you. I don't think he was expecting you."
"No," the man said. After a moment, Winnie realized that the man was not going to say anything more.
"Well," she said, "I'll go and see where my husband is."
As she walked into the living room, Verloc was putting on his coat.
"Adolf," Winnie said in a quiet, worried voice, "do you know that man?"
"I've heard of him, but I've never met him before," Verloc whispered.
"Is he a friend of someone you know?" Winnie asked.
"No, Winnie, but I must go now," Verloc said nervously.
Suddenly, Winnie remembered the money and said quickly,
"Where is the money you took from the bank? Maybe you should leave it at home."
"Yes, you're right," Verloc said.
He took a wallet out of his pocket and gave it to Winnie. Then he walked down the stairs. Winnie heard the bell ring as her husband and his mysterious visitor left the shop. A moment later, the bell above the shop door rang again. Winnie put the wallet into her pocket and walked down to the shop. A man was standing there, turning the pages of an anarchist pamphlet from Germany.
"May I help you?" she asked.
"Is Mr. Verloc here?"
the man asked in a friendly voice as he put the magazine back in its place.
"No, he's gone out. I'm his wife," Winnie answered.
"I'm Chief Inspector Heat, a friend of your husband's," said the man. "I need some information from him. Have you any idea when he will return?"
"No," Winnie said.
She began to unpack a box of pens that had been delivered that morning.
"Do you know where he went?" Chief Inspector Heat asked.
Without looking at Chief Inspector Heat, Winnie said coldly,
"No. All I know is that he left a few minutes ago with a man who came to the shop."
She was already worried enough about Verloc, and she didn't like the man's persistence.
"Can you describe the man, please?" Chief Inspector Heat asked.
"He was tall and thin, and he was very well dressed," Winnie said, wishing the Chief Inspector would leave.
"Well," Chief Inspector Heat thought,
The assistant commissioner certainly got here quickly. He must have decided to investigate this case himself.